In my reading this week, I came across a quote, and I looked and looked for it yesterday so I could read the whole quote to you. But the only part I could remember and I couldn't find was that an interpretation of that scripture that said it's easier for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a Mercedes to enter a revolving door. I thought that was a great quote. Couldn't find it, but I loved it. Well, I know that this is the time of year that you can't wait for. I know you probably worried that you wouldn't be able to find a place to park this morning because of the crowds, because stewardship is just that time of year, isn't it? When everyone wants to be at church. If I'm honest with you, every year I dread it just a little bit. Because I know people enjoy talking about giving and themselves and giving about the M word, you know, money. Why is it that we do everything in our power to talk about anything else but money? We don't want to talk about what we make. We don't want to talk about what we spend. We don't want to talk about what things cost. Nothing. The only time we want to talk about money is if we find something at a bargain price and we want to share it with people. This was on clearance and it was a great deal. It's just a taboo subject, not just in church, but everywhere, isn't it? It's a taboo subject. Why is it that we do everything in our power to not talk about money? Well, let me put your mind at ease. I'm not really going to talk a lot about money this morning, as much as about your priorities. Several months ago, I set out researching stewardship, and I ordered some of the newest books out on stewardship. I've been in ministry for 25 years, and I needed a fresh look at what churches are doing. And so I ordered three new books, and I kind of locked myself away and read through them, and I began to just really think about what needed to happen during these 3 weeks that we are focusing on stewardship. One of the things I kept hearing over and over and over was that people were not giving to the church as much as other organizations because the church wasn't showing what they do. So I hope that when you came in, you got a brochure that looks like this. And I spent the last few weeks trying to pull together some of the things we do in this community to make a difference. You'll see the things, the way that people give their time to our organizations, organizations that we are a part of. You'll see where people have donated and donated time and their talents. And on the back, you see our missions budget. I do want to tell you one thing about our missions budget. Kathy was out of town, so I just kind of had to do this on my own. And if you look at the anticipated designated giving, that amount of money that is put in our budget that isn't, it's money that is given that isn't tied, isn't pledged, was used for intergenerational missions this year. That's what that money is mostly designated for. So I wanted you to get that understood, that that is the part of our budget that goes, as well as family life, that goes to help with our mission trips that Kevin and Kathy have been leading this year. So I put that together so that you could see in practical terms what was going on. And yes, you can look at our budget and you can see where the money goes, but this helps you see with your eyes what changes this church makes in this community. Another thing that I kept reading is that people weren't really invested in the church like they used to be, so naturally people aren't investing in the church the way they used to. So I did a little research on that, and I apologize to John because it's not on the slide sheet that you have, but I'll kind of walk you through it. This is the first one that I wanted to share with you. This is a Pew Research found, and I'm sorry, choir, you won't see the graph, but I'm giving you the information, that 36% of people attend a religious service of some sort at least once a week. 36% of our population. 33% attend once or twice a month. And 30% seldom or never. Now that's the overall look of our world. So then I looked at Highland Park, and if you can go to the next slide, this kind of helps you see Highland Park. So I went through our roles, and I took all of the active members, all of the inactive members, and all of the active visitors. Now, there are some other people on our roll that we call visitors, but they have come three or four times, and we put them in our database, but they don't return. But active visitors. So if you do all that, we have 361 people on our rolls who are a part of our congregation. Of those, 151 have attended our worship services in the last quarter. I need to be sure which, yeah. So that's this teal color, attended in the last quarter. 151. Now, as a point of clarification, I did not look at Sunday school rolls. We do have people who attend Sunday school and don't come to church. We have people that come to church and don't go to Sunday school. So I'm just looking at worship right now. And then if you look at the little green part of the pie, that is the number 32, I believe. And those are people that we would consider very active members of our church, but for whatever reason, we didn't see them in the last quarter. But we still consider them very much a part of our church. And then the rest of that, the other half, are those who we have not seen really in the last year. John, you can go to the next slide. So then I took that 183, the people that we consider to be active members and or visitors. Of that, 46 people attend 90% of the time. 46 people attend 90% of the time. Then we have about, we have 90 that attend 75% of the time. So take that 46 out and you have another, the rest of them attend about 75% of the time. And then 32 did not attend at all. And so the largest number of that remaining 60 attended only once or twice in the last quarter. That should be. Then I looked at giving, and we'll just look at that for a minute. But of giving, there are 64, of our 361, there are 64 households that pledged, and there are 25 households that give but have not pledged. So that's kind of the facts of the church. Now, I'm not standing here this morning to shake my fingers or to name names or to blame anyone. I'm not going to publish the church rolls with the numbers next to them about who's been here and who hasn't, you know. I don't know where I would be if I weren't a minister and had to be here every Sunday morning. I think I would be here, but I don't know. I haven't been faced with that. I may be at home attending Bed Springs Baptist Church. But I am going to say that there is a problem in the church. There's a problem in the church, big C, and there's a problem in the church, little c. Highland Park is no different from anyone else in our world. We've decided church And maybe God is not a priority, is not important in our lives. I picked the Deuteronomy scripture today because I feel like it speaks to Christians today as strongly as it spoke to the Jews in its time. Please allow me to read it one more time to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away. When you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on your doorpost and on your gates. The Jews called this the Shema, the Jewish confession of faith. Jesus spoke it regularly. Jesus quoted it often. It is to the Jews what our John 3:16 is to us. But shouldn't this be as important to us as it was to Jesus? Shouldn't this also be our confession of faith? The scripture is plain and clear. We are to love God with all that we are. All that we have. All. Can I say that again? All. Not easy to hear, is it? And it's even harder to do. That means that nothing should be more important to us than God. Nothing. We have choices to make, and we have choices to make every day of our life. Choices to how we spend our day, choices as to what we put into our body, choices as to what we put in our minds. Scripture tells us that God should be at the very top of every one of our choices. It's so funny. There are so many people, and especially in Austin, that put so much emphasis on what they eat. They're somewhat religious about what they eat. Wouldn't it be great if they focused their life on God as much as they focus on food? If they could focus their lives, their heart, their soul, their might. Now, I can hear it going through your minds. I can hear it. I don't have to be at church in order to be close to God. And you're right about that. I hope the other 6 days of the week you are close to God. But the reason that we gather here each and every week, the reason that we have this service and that we put so much emphasis on it, is that God calls us to be in relationship with other Christians. It's when we join together weekly that we have a clear and a fresh vision of what God is to us and to one another. I may not come to this place at my very best each week. You may not come to this place at your very best every week. But I bet as you look around, there is something that refreshes the inside of you, because together we are the very best of God. Together we see joy, we see peace, we see love, we see caring, we see gratitude, we see patience, we see gentleness. I can tell you the times that I've come in and I've been running around like crazy, just as frazzled as I can be, and a Helen Hastings or a Dottie Denton or a Susan McGee smiles at me. And those beautiful smiles wash over me and I feel peace. I can tell you the times that I've been down and really have a weight on my shoulder, and Alana or Nancy or Jim laugh their beautiful laughs and it lifts my spirits. I can't tell you the times I've had 99,000 things to do just before worship, and I realize that I haven't done something very important, and I turn around and Kevin's done it. We are our very best God when we're together. We're our very best God when we're together. The other day, I was just very stressed about a lot of things. I was working on this. I was working on nominating committee, and we had a nominating committee meeting, and everyone walked in, and Susan McGee handed me a bag. I said, "What is this?" And she said, "I thought it would look pretty on your suit." And it was a frog. That was Peg Ritchie's. You think that didn't lift my spirits that day? I think of her smile and I feel peace. This is why we come to this place, not because we need to get something out of it, but because each one of us bring something to it that maybe we have no idea we bring. And in those moments, someone sees God in you. Each of us brings something different. And when we're not here, there's something major missing. So maybe you're asking yourself, what does it have to do with stewardship? Well, I'm asking you to really think about this passage. Is it your faith statement? Do you feel like you have truly taken these words and placed them on your hand, placed them on your forehead, placed them at your home, placed them at your work, placed them where every person you know knows that you love God? Is God the priority in your life? Is God before family, before work, before entertainment, and yes, I'm going to say it, before your money? There, I went through almost the whole sermon without saying money. Because if God is the priority in your life, then you're ready and willing to give of yourself. And you're ready and willing to give all that you have so that the kingdom of God can continue in this world. So that God's name is on the work that is done. If God is a priority, and if you see God working in this place, then you'll invest yourself.